Crack-a-lacka.
There's no arguing with the judge.
We are editing this entire segment out of the podcast.
I apologize. I will flagellate myself later.
I hope you come up with something good.
All right, this is going to go great.
How now, brown cow?
Red leather, yellow leather.
What's the haps?
What are the haps? You're listening to A Little Nonsense, where the conversation is competitive and the ads aren't real. I am your host and moderator, Joe Moracle. With me, as always, are the tails and knuckles to my Sonic, Sean Keller.
Hi.
That's why you're tails. And Mike Pareto.
What's up, blokes?
Now I'm revoking your knuckles. At the top of the episode, we're going to me, and I have a hypothetical question for the two of you.
Ooh.
Sean, what is this hypothetical question brought to us by?
With the Samsung Galaxy Fold, we not only changed the shape of a phone, we changed the shape of tomorrow. Yeah, foldable phones are pretty much everywhere now. So what's next? Introducing the Samsung Galaxy Papyrus. Finally, you can unroll your phone like it's a scroll from an ancient Eastern Mediterranean Egyptian civilization. You can watch all your favorite movies in widescreen format, 16 of them all at the same time. Forget to purchase a big banner that says Happy Birthday, Jimmy. Well, just jot it down with the included state-of-the-art detachable quill or papyrus stylus. Once you're done writing it out, just nail your phone into the wall. And you can be certain that you're the only one who can access your phone with industry-leading biometric identification. All new technology that allows your papyrus stylus to scan your iris. Virus? No problem. The Samsung Galaxy Papyrus also comes equipped with the strongest online security a phone can offer. And now, for the first time ever, you can send an unsolicited dick pic with your face in it. The Samsung Galaxy Papyrus. This whole ad was written out on one.
Okay.
Thanks, Sean. All right, guys. If you had to become an established villain, who would you become and why?
Any villain, ever.
Any villain. You just can't make one up. That's the only catch. Has to be established.
I'm definitely going to go with Emperor Palpatine. I mean,
Emperor Palpatine is a strong choice.
He's extremely powerful and, you know, can use the dark side of the Force. And
The dark side.
And, yeah, shoot.
Dark side. Please,
unless someone is hurting him. Oh, please don't let him. But he can shoot lightning out of his fingers. I mean,
yep.
That's all I need. And then he just has, like, his henchmen. You know, every bad guy has a henchman. His henchman is Darth Vader.
This is true.
That's a top-notch henchman.
Darth Vader himself is a pretty good choice for the answer to this question.
Yeah, when a really good choice is the henchman of my choice, I'm feeling pretty good about that.
That's a solid choice.
I mean, you get a decent reign, and then you get thrown in a pit.
Yeah, but that's a long reign.
But wouldn't you rather be Darth Vader because he kills Emperor Palpatine?
Yeah, but then he dies like 5 minutes later.
Yeah, he does immediately.
Yeah,
he does, but come
on, Darth Vader is cooler than Emperor Palpatine.
Oh, he's definitely cooler. There's no argument there.
He's cooler, but
that's
but
not
he
the
was
question.
Also,
it's not the question. Isn't
no,
who's
no,
cooler?
Yeah, no, yeah,
he
no,
was
no,
also
yeah,
he,
no, no.
Vader was manipulated into like a lot, whereas Palpatine was the one pulling the strings. You know.
Well, I mean, for starters, he was manipulated into being Darth Vader.
Right, that's what I mean, is, you know, I'd rather be the guy pulling the strings than the guy who is, you know, strung along.
Yeah, Puppet Master versus the Puppet.
Yes, good.
Yes, very good.
Mike, your thoughts?
Well, I feel like I could spend like 20 minutes thinking about this, because there are so many great villains out
Certainly.
There, but... You know, as Sean was talking, I was thinking about Mass Effect. I'm like, well, I love Mass Effect. Who are the villains in Mass Effect?
Mm-hmm.
The Reapers, right?
The Reapers. I think it'd be pretty sweet to be Harbinger. I mean, guy's been around for countless million years, and you know he's like 8,000 feet tall, and you know
I can't even fathom
all
that.
Intelligent, and he's basically omniscient, and he can possess people.
Let's say you're Harbinger. What's your day-to-day life like?
Make some coffee.
I'm pretty much Pilates. Chilling in deep space. Yeah, I'm hanging out in deep space, just like playing Tetris.
Eat a planet
for 50,000 years, just sitting outside of the Milky Way. Like, oh man, it's almost time. We got like 900 years now.
Guess I'll make a foot long hoagie.
Oh, you guys hear about Saturn? Crazy, man.
That's an oddly specific thing for a Reaper to think about, Sean, given the scope of the galaxy.
Well, they think and communicate a lot faster than we do. They probably speak about just about anything. Yeah. And everything.
Did you guys hear about how lame Sovereign was? He fucking died like a bitch. What a little bitch, Sovereign.
I hear there's this earthling who thinks we're trying to turn everyone into doctors.
Mike,
what an idiot.
For the benefit of our listeners that aren't familiar with the franchise, explain the Reapers.
I'm not sure I want any listeners who aren't familiar with the franchise, Joe.
Well, I know for a fact that we have them, and don't push anyone away.
Well, the Reapers are an ancient artificial intelligence that take the form of gigantic synthetic creatures. I guess you could call them spaceships, really, because they are technically, but they're also themselves like androids.
Yeah, they're big floating robots.
Take the form of aliens that they've conquered in the past. So every 50,000 years, they visit their wrath upon the Milky Way, and they take out all of the intelligent life that has reached a certain threshold of technology.
So our listeners have nothing to worry about.
Right. And we would probably meet the threshold. I think we would probably die. So that's not good. But they leave most of the sapient races alone because they haven't reached the point where they're like exploring space and stuff. But once you have, you're basically fucked because there are literally like a million Reapers.
Yeah.
And any one of them could basically take out an entire planet by itself. Yeah. So,
well, I think that's a real interesting choice, Mike. I personally don't like what the day-to-day existence of that would be like, but I can't fault you for longevity.
So you don't think the Reapers have like good video games and shit?
I absolutely do not.
But if you're that old, then isn't your quote-unquote day-to-day like vastly relative? Like, isn't it really just like hundreds of years seems like a day?
Or you could just sleep for a long time and be like, okay, sweet, it's time to wake up and kill people
instant.
For 300 years.
Yeah, like
years.
You go to hibernation or something.
It
yeah,
still doesn't not? Sound like a good time to me, you know, personally.
Well, what about you, Joe? Who would you pick, or what would you pick, as Mike opened up?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I considered two factors, if that wasn't clear from my notes. Life expectancy versus quality of life.
All right, those are good factors.
So, yeah,
those are the two main things I looked at. Now, in terms of life expectancy, I'd be inclined to go with a villain that either can't die or just keeps coming back, you know, like a Jason or a Freddy Krueger. But again, you know, their quality of life isn't great.
Sure, yeah.
You know, they're really all about the one note, you know, the killing. And,
not a
and
very
that's
dynamic life, yeah.
I think we just don't know a whole lot about their quality of life, to be honest.
well, you know,
we've,
I personally
we've only seen
think,
a couple hours of
I
it,
personally
so.
Think that it isn't explored because of how unfulfilling it is.
I think it's just not explored because it's so much more interesting what they do in the time that we do see what they're
exactly.
doing.
They're just catatonic.
But,
sitting on a bed somewhere.
What they're doing in those moments is like incredibly interesting. So, I mean, there could be, you know, they could be doing some pretty cool shit that's just less interesting than that.
Sure.
In the meantime.
All right. You know? Well, Joe, go to your next point.
Yeah. I also considered the reverse, you know, like Commodus from Gladiator, amazing quality of life, very short life expectancy. He was not Caesar for very long.
Well, anyone from those times wasn't like 40, like a huge win.
That's true, yes. But consider yes. Consider his actual time as Caesar.
Oh, yeah.
It was only a handful of years.
I don't think Commodus had a high quality of life. I think the guy was just completely paranoid and crazy.
True, but he was also Caesar, which is pretty great.
It is, except that everybody wants to kill you all the time. Yeah, I mean, that's true.
You get a pizza legacy for decades pizza. After.
That was Nero.
Shit.
Anyway, the one I rested on is Dracula from the Castlevania series.
Huh. Why the Castlevania series?
Because that particular iteration of Dracula was around for 900 years.
Okay.
So
that's pretty good. How old was the Bram Stoker Dracula? Does he ever
42.
Say
42? 42 years old.
I don't think it specified, but
died of colon cancer.
He 42. Definitely died in the early 19th century.
Might I, Joe, after giving your two factors, I had another thought. Might I submit to you gentlemen, Satan?
Yeah, Satan's a solid choice.
He'd be like that's an immortal, all powerful, like that's a good one.
Well, he's not all powerful. He's all powerful in hell for sure.
Well, you could choose God as a villain, couldn't you?
Ooh,
depending on the story, absolutely.
Sure, yeah.
Again, we're gonna lose our Scandinavian listeners.
So anyway, Castlevania's Dracula, he gets about 900 years of life. You know, he's a very posh noble. There's a lot of damsels in distress that, you know, he kidnapped, which that's par for the course as a villain. But every time he's killed, he just comes back to life 100, at the next century mark, which I think is pretty great.
It's always at the century mark. The guy just fucking loves New Year's.
The story is like every 100 years, the power of Christ wanes and Dracula's able to come back to the world.
Ah, I see.
Ah, yes, that makes sense.
I didn't say it makes sense, but that's how that's the lore.
Makes as much sense as any of the other characters that we've discussed.
And then the best part is, you know, I would die in the year 1999, so I didn't have to witness that horrible Y2K.
The Tyrannosaurus Rex in Times Square.
Exactly.
Really, everything that mattered about Y2K and why it was so stupid happened in 1999. So
Yeah,
but I wouldn't know that because I died.
All those doomsday preppers on Ricky Lake and shit talking about Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
Basically praying that it was going to happen, you know?
So I'm going with Dracula. And Sean's the devil.
Blah.
It sounded almost like you were doing a Brad Pitt.
Blah. Oh, no, I was doing like a Dracula, like, blah, I want to talk, blah, blah. But yeah, it did kind of sound like a, blah.
It was pretty much Brad Pitt as Brad Dracula. Pitt. Oddly, he did play a vampire.
I want to suck your blood. Blah.
Your man Rice vampire.
Yes.
All right, next we're going to Sean. Sean, what have you got for us?
Oh, guys, I want to talk about something really tasteless.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Mike, what is this really tasteless thing brought to us by?
Chalupa Rick's authentic Mexican street food. Buenos dias. Me amo Rick Spoon, founder, CEO, and head chef at Chalupa Rick's authentic Mexican street food. Yo, Mako, Muy, Bueno, Fudo. So stop on by for a dining experience just like the one you'd get out on the streets of Mexico City. You'll like it, our signature old chalupa french fries. Mmm, yummy. Chicken fried steak with salsa gravy. Take Goose Dan Los Tacos. Muy bueno, cause you'll be tickled pink when you try our ham tacos. Oh. Ham! Mm-mm. Biscuits and gravy, cornbread apple fritters, and that Mexican street classic, Beef Wellington. Get down here muy rapido to Chalupa Rick's authentic Mexican street food. Tell him Rick Spoon sent you for 15% off. Ham.
That Rick seems like an authentic Mexican chef.
Rick Spoon. Yeah.
Rick Spoon checks out.
Must be good. All right, well, guys, I wanted to talk about something, like I said, something tasteless and colorless and odorless. I want to talk about helium.
All right.
Helium.
We're talking about an element here, boys.
That's right. Number two. Atomic number two.
One of the noble gases.
It is. It's a noble gas.
Mm, yes.
Noble. Guys, helium. Everyone knows helium as the fun stuff that we put in balloons to make them float and to inhale to make our voices sound funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
What some people might not know is that helium has some other fun qualities. You know, it doesn't burn, so it's useful for rocket engines. Yep. It is, it's so cold that it's used to cool superconducting magnets, like the ones that are found in MRI machines.
I assume you mean like when it's a liquid.
So there's a couple different. We'll get to that. So it's the second most common element in the universe, helium.
Hence the reason it's number two on the periodic table. It's related.
That is related. Now, did you guys know that we are in the middle of the third global helium shortage in the past 14 years?
Yes.
I knew that we were in the middle of a shortage.
So essentially, we are, as with most times, something's in a shortage. We're using it faster than we can stockpile it, okay? So helium in gas form gradually leaks out of most containers, and it's so light that it flies away into and out of our atmosphere. As a liquid, it's the coldest substance on the planet, and a tiny bit of heat turns it into a gas. And even when it's kept in a cryogenic container, the liquid will slowly boil off. So how do we store it? Well, in the Federal Helium Reserve in Amarillo, Texas, helium is compressed at the surface and then stored in a layer of dolomite rock more than 3,000 feet underground.
Dolomite!
Dolomite! It's dolomite! Above that, a thick layer of salt keeps it in place. So basically, it's just really fucking tricky and expensive to store helium. And people might not realize that there is a finite amount of it on Earth. Okay? The entire universe, the mass of it is comprised of like 23% helium or something ridiculous. It's the second most common element. But there's only a finite amount on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is interesting. There are two other ways to get helium on Earth. One is that a small amount is released through the decay of radioactive elements, a very small amount. Another way is through cosmic rays. So basically, we have some helium on Earth. It's really, really hard to store. There's really not a viable way to regenerate it at this time. How do you guys feel about helium?
Well, I think that the most interesting thing about helium is that it's the second most common thing in the universe, but it's limited here on Earth. I find that to be a very interesting juxtaposition because it's whatever we have here is eventually, even if we don't do anything, it's just eventually going to be gone entirely from the planet. Like there's no way you can't like create it really
yet.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, without fusion, you can't do it.
That's a little thing we need to do is just figure out how to have a stable fusion reaction on Earth.
Yeah, we'll just figure that out.
Yeah, is that a little thing? Yeah.
I mean, you know, in addition to solving our helium crisis, it has the added side effect of also solving all of our energy problems.
I should add that to explain that a little bit, I don't know if it's boring, but the reason that helium is the second most common thing in the universe is because hydrogen is the most common thing in the universe.
Yes.
And it makes up the bulk of a star, which undergoes a fusion process at its core to generate energy, and fusion turns hydrogen into helium.
Yes, like our sun is like 45% helium, right?
So you're saying to solve the crisis, we just have to go there and get some helium from the sun.
Just blow up the sun.
We got to stick a big straw into the sun and like, just suck out the helium.
It's like a big straw or like a really strong ladle.
Yeah.
The trouble is that most of the helium in the sun is going to be toward the center of the sun, which makes it even more difficult.
All right, difficult. So the ladle has to have like a really, really long handle.
Right.
Really long. Yeah.
Yeah. Longer than at least one Earth. I think the sun is like two Earths across in diameter. I think I read that in a Goosebumps book.
Oh man, that's so big.
R.L. Stein.
It's any bigger than like two and a half Earths tops.
Right, tops. Yeah, that ratio though of the way that it shook out when our universe was created, not a ton of it was put on Earth. Or maybe there was, but it immediately escaped into the atmosphere because it's lighter than air.
Well, yeah, I think it's partly that, but also it's just a very slippery, kind of like, figuratively speaking, thing, because it doesn't interact with anything.
Right.
It's a noble gas, so it's
noble.
Just,
and it doesn't bind with anything, so
yeah, it doesn't form any compounds because it's a noble gas, so it doesn't attach to other things, so it just leaves, it just floats away. So it could be that early Earth had a shitload of helium on it, but most of that just dissipated
immediately
before we started caring about it. Yeah,
I do have some fun facts about helium.
We'll be the judge on whether or not they're fun. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well. Number one is, did you know that hydrogen is only 7% more buoyant than helium?
Yes.
Well, kind of makes you wonder why they put that in the Hindenburg, Seven percent, that's not enough.
It's not a big enough difference to risk the explosion.
Like
the
hydrogen,
immediate combustion. Yeah, I agree.
Hydrogen's highly combustive.
Prior to the Hindenburg, there hadn't been any problems with any of the other dirigibles. So it seemed perfectly safe.
For those at home that don't know, the dirigibles, those are the Australian instruments that are like...
Right. I want to add, though,
I have more.
You shouldn't have made that joke.
You've been dinged out. But the reason they use hydrogen is because there's so much more hydrogen.
Yeah, there's a lot of fucking hydrogen.
Yeah.
Probably easier to stockpile, too.
It's just a delicate balance between having a lot of something and murdering everybody on board.
Yeah. So we know that helium is actually used in things like rocket engines or MRI machines. Should we be concerned that eventually we're going to run out of helium? Is that something that we need, or will we just simply learn how to engineer these things without needing helium, and it's fine, it's not a big deal? Like, should we be concerned that I can go to a party city and just get a bunch of balloons, and like, even though it's a finite resource?
I would say I would be concerned about it, mostly because of cost. I think there are other things that could substitute for helium that would be much more expensive.
Yeah, the concern, balloons should be the least of your concerns right now, Sean, because the amount of helium that goes into balloons pales in comparison to like the liquid helium used as a coolant.
Yeah.
In terms of volume, it doesn't even scratch the surface. Plus, once our helium, available helium gets low, you're just not going to be able to buy helium filled balloons anymore. Right now, you know,
low priority.
They're going to prioritize. Okay.
Right now in the Chicagoland area, it's next to impossible to get helium unless you're in the medical industry. Yeah. So I think probably this fall, you're just going to see an end to balloons.
That's kind of, shouldn't we prepare people?
We're going to have a pretty shitty New Year's, I think.
Man.
Not the balloons.
The end of an era.
All right, well, I already rang the bell earlier and gave Sean a point. So next, we're going to Mike.
All right, I've got a game for you gentlemen.
I love games.
Yeah, yes. I'll give you the title of the game. It's called Pick Your Poison - The Nerderer.
I love poison.
So, Joe, who is Pick Your Poison The Nerderer brought to us by?
This game is brought to us by Del's Pizzeria. Exciting news, pizza fans. Del's Pizzeria is thrilled to announce that deep-fried pizza dough sticks will be coming to the menu at all of their 24-hour restaurants throughout the greater Denver area. Now, anytime, day or night, if you feel the need, you can satisfy yourself with Deldos. Having a party for the big game this weekend? Nothing spices up halftime like breaking out a whole bunch of Deldos. And while you can always share your Deldos with friends, if you're alone and hungry, there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself with a Deldo. Deldos are made fresh when you order, exactly how you want them. Want an end dipped in garlic butter? Or perhaps Parmesan cheese? You want both ends to be different? Go on, get a double-ended Deldo. I personally like to get a large order cooked well done, because nothing fills me up quite like a big black Deldo. Oh, fuck. Sure, pizza is objectively better, but if you can't get what you really want, or just need something quick with no hassle, satisfy yourself with a Deldo. Available now at all Del's Pizzeria locations. Back to you, Mike.
We're grown men.
Oh my god. I could have sworn that was going to end with Deldo, shove it up your asshole.
Put it in your butt.
Put it in your butt.
I'm sorry, I had to. There was real quick. I was looking up Patrick Swayze impressions on YouTube today, and there's nothing because nobody tries to do a Patrick Swayze impression. Yeah. But you remember his most famous line from Dirty Dancing, right?
Yeah, nobody puts baby right in the corner.
So I click on one. It says Patrick Swayze impression. It's 8 seconds long, and it's got like 14 views. Okay, so I click on this thing, and the guy
you're lucky
is
number 15.
The guy is staring into the camera and breathing heavy, and this is what he does. He goes, "Hey, nobody better put that baby in that corner."
He fucked it up horribly.
But I think it was on purpose for comedy. It was so funny though. Hey, nobody better put that baby in that corner.
Why would you do that? Why would you put a baby in a corner, you son of a bitch?
So great.
That's hilarious.
Alright, so pick your poison, the nerderer. I challenged you guys to each pick something that you nerd out about.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Right, yes. Yeah.
So, Sean, what did you pick?
Teledildonics.
Sean, what did you pick?
What did I pick? I think I picked the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe. Joe, what did you pick? Do you remember?
I gave you several things, but I think the end result was Green Lantern.
No, the end result was Harry Potter. Incorrect.
Was it?
Then, it was.
Okay.
Yes, so it's time to put your nerddom to the test here with Pick Your Poison, the Nerderer. Yeah, you'll insert some music or something there. So I've selected some trivia based on the areas you've chosen, and I'm going to alternate questions between you. And you'll be given the option to either answer a question in your own category for 1 point, or You could risk answering a question in your opponent's category to reduce his score by two.
That's fun.
Interesting. Yeah.
And that's part of the reason that I ended up choosing Harry Potter for this one, Joe, because it just seemed a little bit more
that is fair. That is more fair.
Yeah, and I'm thinking I should have done the 90s bowls.
You definitely should have. Actually,
you should have
done any other era of the Bulls, because the 90s Bulls are likely the ones I actually know.
That's true.
Let's begin this game, shall we?
Do it.
Okay, you remember the rules. Yes.
Our category, 1 point. Their category, minus 2 points from their score.
That is correct. Okay.
Okie doke.
We're going to start with Joe with a Harry Potter question. Or, okay. Or if you choose, we can go negative. So if you choose, you can also answer an MCU question for negative 2 points for Sean. Which would you prefer?
Well, I will start playing nice and say Harry Potter.
All right, Joe, your first Harry Potter question. Why is Harry able to see the Thestrals, and which two other students can see them?
Well, I can answer two-thirds of this.
Okay.
Because Harry can see the Thestrals because he witnessed a death. Uh-huh. And one of the other students that could see them was Neville, who saw his grandmother die.
Correct.
And I thought Luna claimed she could see him, but I don't know whether or not that's true.
Well, that's good enough for me, because the answer is Luna and Neville.
Oh, but he wasn't sure about it.
Well, I knew she claimed she could see him. I didn't know
whether or not she could, claiming it is enough for me.
All right.
Yes, so very good. Joe, 1 point.
Thank you.
Sean, we're on to you now. Would you like a question from the MCU for 1 point, or a question from Harry Potter for negative 2 points to Joe?
Let's start with the MCU, see what we're dealing with here.
Okay, your first MCU question is a simple one. What is Tony Stark's middle name?
Anthony.
Anthony would be his first name.
See, it's Tony Anthony Stark.
Anthony Stark.
All right, Sean, you did not get a point for your first question.
Are you sure?
And we're back to Joe for the correct answer. I should probably say what the correct answer was. That'd be interesting. Yeah. It's Edward.
Edward
is the correct answer. Anthony Edward Stark.
Edward Stark.
He was Goose from
Top Gun.
Danger Zone. Yeah. Anthony Edwards.
All right, Joseph, your second question. Would you prefer to go with a Harry Potter question or an MCU question?
At least for the time being, I'll stay with Harry Potter, because I did not know Tony Stark's middle name.
Fair enough. What was Voldemort's full birth name?
Thomas Marvolo Riddle.
That is correct.
It wasn't Thomas, it was just Tom.
What do you think Tom's short for?
Yeah, it was technically Tom. However,
it's Tom because of the anagram.
These Harry Potter questions are way easier than the MCU question was.
You've had one question so far. Also, I think Tom is short for Thomas, usually. So back to you, Sean.
I'll take a Harry Potter question.
Okay.
Now he's going to go to his hardest Harry Potter question.
No, it's just the first one in the order. So, Sean, Harry Potter question for negative 2 points for Joe. What are the three types of wizard coins in order of value from lowest to highest?
Lowest to highest.
Yes.
Okay. There's the galleon.
Which is the highest. But still, you know, if you can give me the other two at all, I'll give you the negative 2 points. How's that?
Not very good.
Can I move to steel? Is that a rule?
There's a penny, a nickel, and a galleon.
All right, we're going to go ahead and say that Sean did not get that correct.
I'd like
to just give Joe a chance. I'm not going to give you a point or anything for it, but if you'd like to just answer the question.
Sure, give it to him.
In ascending order, copper canut, silver sickle, gold galleon.
Very good. Yes, excellent. That is correct.
All right, all right.
100 points for Joe.
Wait, what?
All right, back to you, Joseph. Harry Potter or MCU question?
I've been going strong with Harry Potter, so I'm just going to ride that line.
Okay. Your next question is, what is the animal featured on the Hufflepuff crest?
The animal featured on the Hufflepuff crest is a badger.
That is correct.
This is ridiculous.
I'm sorry, Sean. Could you say that you could answer all of these questions so far?
All of the Harry Potter questions, yes.
Except for the coins. One you got.
Except the coins.
It sounds like you picked the wrong category, Sean.
It does, doesn't it?
Sean,
give me an MCU question.
All right. What song does Baby Groot dance to in the post-credits scene of the first Guardians of the Galaxy?
I Want You Back by the Jackson 5.
That is correct. One point for
you're
Sean.
You're on the board, buddy.
Nailed it. Man, you remembered that shit. I did not at all remember that. Joseph.
I also did not know the song that Baby Groot danced to, so gonna stick with Harry Potter.
All right, name all four of the Marauders by their first and last names.
Oh, shit. Let me think here. Okay, now I got this. James Potter, Sirius Black, Peter Pettigrew, and...
I knew all of those. This last one is eluding me.
All right.
I can't remember his first name.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. All right, damn it. I'm out.
All right, it's Remus Lupin.
Remus!
Goddamn. Remus Lupin, yes.
Remus Lupin.
That was the, I think that was the tough, yeah, that was the tough part of that answer. Sean?
Yeah, I want to go with, I feel like, how many more questions do we have? I got to know strategy here.
Let's see, we've done four, so you have four more.
And what is the current score?
3-1, Joe.
That's not too bad. All right, let me go with, give me an MCU.
Your next MCU question. Name all six Infinity Stones along with their colors.
Fuck, all right. Well, we got the Soul Stone is going to be yellow.
Okay, you're incorrect. This
oh, shit. God damn it.
So the Space Stone is blue. The Mind Stone is yellow. The Reality Stone is red.
What's the
Power
Soul Stone?
Power Stone is purple. The Time Stone is green and the Soul Stone is orange.
Orange. Well, fuck that. All right.
Joseph,
I wouldn't have been able to answer that, so I'm still going with Harry Potter.
Oh, fair enough. How many brothers does Ron Weasley have, and what are their names?
I'm missing a brother. I know I'm missing a brother.
I've got. I don't want to tell you how many I've got. I think I'm missing one too.
No, I'm definitely missing a brother. I'm
most
pretty
people
sure I know
do
the number.
Miss a brother. Yeah.
I'm certain of the number, but not their identities.
Well, can you give me the names of the ones you do know, and I'll provide the last one?
No, just read them all. I'm going to make you do the work.
Sure. So the answer is five brothers.
Fred, George, Percy.
And Bill.
Bill. Okay, he's the dragon. Yeah. There's five, though. Fred, George, Percy, yeah. Bill.
And the fifth is the one I'm missing.
Yeah, I would say the fifth is the one featured the least in the books.
Sure.
And that would be Charlie. Charlie.
Oh,
Charlie.
Jesus.
I would never have pulled Charlie.
That was a
I
tough
wouldn't
one.
Have either.
Sean?
I'm going to go Harry Potter.
Okay.
I just feel lucky. Let's do it.
All right. Next Harry Potter question for Sean. What do the initials R-A-B stand for?
Oh, man. I remember this. Hang on. R-A-B. Oh, God damn it. R-A-B.
You just have to wait while Sean Googles it.
No, I'm not. I don't have my hands anywhere near my keyboard. R-A-B.
We're on the honor system here. We don't do that.
I know.
Fuck. R-A-B.
It would be, with some of the things we get wrong, it'd be really sad if we were cheating.
That's a fact.
God damn it. I can't remember. I know that I know it. I can't remember it.
The answer is Regulus Arcturus Black.
There you go.
R-A-B. All right, Joseph, back to you.
Let's mix it up. I will attempt an MCU question.
Okay, MCU question for Joe. How does the Quinjet greet Banner in Thor Ragnarok after he identifies himself to gain flight access, much to Thor's chagrin?
Aw, come on, I know it.
What?
Can I steal it?
I'm just going to guess because I only saw the movie once. It gives him complete and unrestricted access.
But how does it greet him?
Oh, you actually meant in... Okay. I don't fucking know.
Sean, how does it greet him?
As the strongest Avenger.
That is correct, Sean. I wish I could give you a point, but I can't. I know. But we are back to you. Now we're still sitting at 3-1 in favor of Joe.
I'll do an MCU.
All right, MCU question for Sean. What goes over Drax's head?
Like everything. Like every fucking thing that they say to him.
Nothing.
There is a specific answer that I'm looking for.
I would jump and I would catch it.
Yes, very good. Very good, Sean. That is the correct answer. The correct answer, to be clear, is nothing goes over his reflexes head. Are too fast. He would catch it. Yes.
I had to role play it. I had to think.
Right.
Nothing goes over my head.
Joseph.
I'm going back to Harry Potter.
All right. So what magical material comprises the core of Harry's wand?
I'd say it's a phoenix feather.
That is correct.
Well done.
That particular phoenix gave only one other feather.
To Albus right. Dumbledore.
For 1,000 points. Who was that?
That was incorrect, Sean. That's not it's not who has that feather.
Jerkins McGruber.
Yep, Jerkins McGruber.
Jerkins McGruber. So we're sitting at 4-2, Sean. How would you like to proceed?
How many questions do we have left, Mike?
So you are on your 7th question. Now, I could actually go longer than 8 questions if we decide to go that route.
Well, I mean, the way I see it, if I go MCU, I've got to get it right. If I go Harry Potter, I might have another chance if he gets his next one wrong.
Let's
go MCU. I'm feeling pretty confident.
All right, then. Your next MCU question. War Machine's first suit, featured in Iron Man 2, is based upon which iteration of Iron Man's armor?
We're going to say Mark 6.
That is incorrect. It is the Mark 2.
Hmm.
Mark 2.
All right.
All right, so Joseph, back to you.
I'm going to stick with Harry Potter.
All right. What is the name of the plant that traps Harry, Hermione, and Ron in the Sorcerer's Stone?
It's the book I've read the least. Nope, don't got it.
The Walloping Willow?
No, the answer is the Devil's Snare.
Oh, yeah. Motherfucker.
I know where it's happening. I did not remember its name.
Now, Sean, if we're going to go with 8 questions, then you have
then
to do
I have
a negative.
To do a Harry Potter.
Yeah, you're going to have to do a Harry Potter question for this.
Let's
so we
do
can
it.
Make the attempt here. Okay. And if so, I can go into, if you get it, I can go into overtime, I suppose.
Let's do it.
All right. So your Harry Potter question. Harry received a vial of what potion from Professor Slughorn?
Damn it.
From Slughorn?
Yes. Joe is like, he just wants to scream the answer.
No,
right now.
I feel like it's Felix Felicis, but I'm like, from Slughorn, he was trying to get a memory from him. I'll say Felix Felicis. Felicis.
Yes, that is correct.
All right, good. Okay.
Very good. So, Joseph, we are now tied. We can go into a couple questions here for tiebreakers. Would you like to do a negative question for Sean, or would you like to take a Harry Potter question?
I have known like one of the MCU questions, so I'm going to stick with Harry Potter.
Let's go with this one. To which house did Moaning Myrtle belong?
I believe... All right, it's 50-50 in my head, so I'm going to go Ravenclaw.
That is correct, Joseph.
Yeah.
Ravenclaw is the correct answer.
Well done.
Sean, back on to you here. It is now 3-2.
I want to go for the win.
Okay, so you're going to do a negative question.
Go big or go home. Let's do it.
Okay. So you're going to get a Harry Potter question here. What type of broom does Draco Malfoy purchase for the entire Slytherin team?
The only type of broom that I could even name is a Nimbus 2000. So I'm going to say Nimbus 2000.
That is incorrect.
I figured it was. That's all right.
However, you were close, and this is a very difficult question for this reason. It is the Nimbus 2001.
Yeah.
So the Nimbus 2000 was the broom that Harry Potter originally gets.
Right, yeah.
But Draco purchases the 2001s in the, I think it's the subsequent book, as kind of a one-up to Harry Potter.
Of course he does, fucking asshole.
So, congratulations, Joe. You're the winner of tonight's game.
Oh, my God.
Well done, Joe.
And you are awarded with the negative point.
I will gladly mark that down. All right, gentlemen, our final segment of the evening is from me. And, you know, I don't want to say they're hypothetical questions. They're really more somewhere in between hypotheticals and would you rathers with discussion elements to it. Sean, what is all that shit I just said brought to us by?
Well, Joe, I had a sponsor lined up, but I just noticed this wet folded up sheet of paper here. So I think I should probably just read whatever's on there. Let me hang on a second. It says, anyone familiar with world history already knows that Sherman the Toad and his incredible wealth has been responsible for every war. His groundbreaking invention of bombs made out of money helped him turn the tide in battles, and battles is underlined.
Sean, is this for real? Are you serious?
And now, that power can be yours too, with Sherman the Toad's authentic money bombs for the insanely wealthy. What better way to show off your incredible wealth than by deploying and detonating bombs that are made completely out of money? How do they work, you ask? Well, Sherman the Toad made them, I reply. Sherman the Toad's authentic money bombs for the insanely wealthy can be yours for as little as $6 billion per bomb.
That's so stupid.
Just leave $6 billion in an envelope under the bench at the corner of 7th and Market. This is totally real, and what? I am not a toad. Ha ha, ribbit, hop, splash. Well, that's weird.
Gentlemen, if you were to be combined with an animal in like a centaur fashion,
all right,
what animal would you want to be combined with?
Huh.
Wow. So you're gonna end up half human, half something.
We get to choose how the halves are split up.
Yeah, sure.
That's kind of important. So yeah,
it's
I hope so.
Very important.
I mean, it's half and half. What?
Yeah. Why would you choose top for any animal?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Animal? I was like, I can't imagine an animal that has a better top than
thing,
I do.
It's a good thing we've got a choice because I'd like to pick the top side.
I just really like my human legs and penis.
Yeah. Give me a polar bear face, but I want my human dick. I can run pretty good on these sticks, but I want that walrus face.
Sean, what animal are you getting mangled up with?
Joe, I haven't had near enough time to figure this out.
All right.
I have no fair idea. Enough.
Mike, any thoughts?
Holy shit, this is a tough one.
I mean, if we, like, say that I said shark, right? The gills.
Why would you say shark?
But listen, the gills would be on the upper part of my body, but I'm a human on the upper part. So I wouldn't be able to even swim in the
ocean.
You'd
have a mermaid situation going. You'd be fine.
All right.
Yeah, you just have a shark backside. I would permit that
as a variation of mermaid.
But I can't say eagle because wings would be on the top part, so I'd have an eagle face, wouldn't I?
I think you'd still have to have wings if you're going to be combined with
That's
an eagle.
That's what I'm saying. Wouldn't I have an eagle face and wings with human feet dangling?
No, you would absolutely have talons instead of legs.
All right.
But you could also have wings out your back. I will allow that combination.
Oh man,
that's kind of a cool one.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards aviary then.
Your human bones will have to be hollow though.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
I'd like to be a man spider.
God damn it,
man spider.
Why would you want to be that?
Because I can climb walls and shit like Spider-Man, only I'm a man spider.
Only you're hideous.
Well, you're fucking hideous too.
I don't know. I could have wings coming out of my back like fucking Archangel and shit.
I don't know. I could
I could
spin webs.
Archangel had
stuff.
Totally weird looking bird legs.
Well, who looks at a man's legs? Isn't that from Shawshank Redemption? No, not often you look at a man's talons.
I can actually combine this with the first answer to the first hypothetical if I could create my own villain.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, because this would be a pretty sweet villain.
Yeah, Man Spider would be a pretty great villain.
Oddly enough, Reapers are kind of like spiders.
Some of them, yeah.
And I think I hate spiders, but apparently all right. I don't.
I have a follow-up question, guys. What if instead of being able to choose the parts, it's a Brundlefly situation, and you're just going to be horribly exchanged with this animal and combined in, like, really gross ways?
Oh, Jesus.
Do you want to change your animal, or are you happy with what you got?
I want to change my animal for sure.
All right, let's say, for the sake of being able to answer part two of this, I'm going to say that I went with a hawk or a peregrine falcon for my animal, to where I had the wings and the talons, but I still had my face, so I could still go down on a lady or whatever need be, you know, but I'd have wings that came out of my back.
And a tiny, tiny bird dick.
Tiny bird penis, whatever that looks like. It's got feathers on it. Super weird. I'll take it.
We don't get to choose what happens here.
No,
we
not in part two. We don't.
No, not in part two. You don't.
Right.
So I'm gonna change my animal. I'm gonna change mine to a silverback gorilla, and then it'll probably be somewhat similar, right, to what I am now. Maybe a little more hair.
I was gonna pick the exact same thing.
You're just gonna get way hairier and
more muscular.
And your dick will probably grow.
Probably.
Actually. Because they're 2 inches long.
Yeah, because gorillas have really tiny dicks.
Yeah, so it'll grow,
they
like
actually
exponentially.
Do, yeah. I was going to pick chimpanzee, but for the same exact reason.
It's just so similar.
You're gonna interchange some stuff, but it's not going to be so weird that you can't like interact with humans.
You'll
ever
still
again,
be recognizable,
you know?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. All right. This leads into my next question. The two of you are going to be combined in a Brundlefly situation.
Oh, Jesus.
Except it's not going to be like a complete combination. You're going to be conjoined and share an orifice. But I'm going to let you choose. Do you and Mike want to share a mouth or a butt?
Oh, God. Probably a butt, right? Well, I mean, like, look, it's like a mouth is going to eat different things. We have different taste buds. A mouth is going to
different wives.
You're going to kiss different things. But the only thing that's coming out of a butt is just shit. So let's just share a shit butt.
We both agree about what's going to go in and out of a butt, which is nothing goes in and shit comes out.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Exactly.
I'm on board.
I think this is, I'm glad you two are in agreement and you talked this out. That's going to help you with the follow-up to this one.
Jesus. There's another question.
Why?
Well, just like first question. I had a follow-up that made it worse. I have a follow-up to this question that makes it worse.
All right.
If I were to human centipede the two of you,
oh, God.
Which one of you gets to be the front?
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, I get to be the front.
What? Wait a minute.
Sorry, Sean.
Wait a minute. Why? Why do you get to be the front?
Because you have to say, I get to be the front.
There
is no other answer to that question.
It sounds like he's invoking dibs.
It does. I thought we were going to have like a nice discussion about this.
There is no, you can't have a discussion about
that. Some sort of discourse.
No, I say, I get to be the front, and you say, no, I get to be the front, and that's the end of it. Because there is nobody, nobody can say willingly, okay, I guess I'll be the back.
Right now, as it stands, based on dibs, Sean, your lips are getting sewn to Mike's asshole.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely would want the front. I just thought we were going to have a discussion about it.
There is no discussion about
it. There really isn't anything to discuss, though, the more that I think about it. It's really, it's like he said, I want the front, and that's it. That's the end of the conversation.
That is it. Sorry,
Sean. Well, if
you're
not going to discuss it, then the bell is rung.
There was just no way that we were going to have a civilized or constructive conversation about that.
No, like, there's no bargaining power there, right? There's no, like, what could you possibly say that would convince me to take the bat? Yeah,
exactly.
You've got no leverage. There's nothing.
I mean, Mike's pretty silver-tongued. I feel like he could talk you into getting your lips sewn to his asshole.
But still, the easiest way was just to take the front.
Yeah, no, dibs totally works. Absolutely. Oh, so when are we doing this? All right, gentlemen, that's our episode. And with a score of 1, Sean, Mike, you are tied for loser.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I would be right there with you if I didn't get that negative point, though.
All right.
Thank God for that negative point.
I know. So you two are losers, and I'm a winner.
So we have to have our asses sewn to our mouths as punishment.
We have to sew our asses together.
Oh, that's, man, you're just going to be passing poop back and forth. Yeah.
Until our intestines explode.
Right.
And with that wonderful mental image...
Doesn't sound like much of a life at all.
That's our episode. I am Joe Moracle.
I'm disgusted.
And so am I.
And I'm slightly turned on. Have a great week, everyone. A Little Nonsense is copyright 2019 by its hosts. All ads are meant to be humorously fake. Any resemblance to a company, person, or other entity, real or imagined by someone else, is either entirely coincidental or purposeful parody. If you have a question, comment, or discussion topic, you can email us through the mail hole. That's mailhole@littlenonsense.com. You can find more episodes and anything else related to the show at littlenonsense.com. And now that the end of show business is concluded, I'll kindly ask, Sean, would you please take us out?
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. A little whimsy here or there is often fair, necessary.